Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Janavalabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayarada Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayarada Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Janavalabha Dhari. Gopi Janavalabha Grivala Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. 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 Jaya Radha Shama Sundara Radha Shama Sundara Radhe. Jaya Radha Shama Sundara Radha Shama Sundara Radhe. Prabhupada Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Şifat Paramahamsa Paribhaji Kuchari Asatas Lachi Shimada Vachana Ravinda Bhakti Vinanta Swami Shila Babu Pada Kijai Anant Koti Vaishnava Vinda Kijai Namacharya Shila Haidas Thakur Kijai Prince Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gold Bhakta Vinda Kijai Grantaraj Shimad Bhagavatam Kijai Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 14, entitled Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, verse 24. Evam vidham tvam sakala atmanam api svatmanam atmatmataya Vichakshate Guru Arka Labdha Upanishad Suchakshusha Ye Te Taranti Eva Bhava Anrita Ambudhim Evang Vidhang Tvam Sakalatmanam Api Evam vidhang tvam sakalatmanam api svatmanam atmatmataya vichakshate svatmanam atmatmataya vichakshate gurvarka labdho panishatsu chakshasha Gurvarka labdho panishatsu chakshusha Ye te tarantiva bhavanritam buddhim Ye te tarantiva bhavanritam buddhim Evang vidhang tvang sakalatmanam api Svatmanam atmatmataya vichakshate Gurvarka labdho panishatshu chakshusha Ye te tarantiva bhavanritam buddhim Evam vidham tvam sakalatmanam api svatmanam atmatmataya vichakshate Pani Chachu Chachu Sha. Yete Tarantiva Bhavanritam Buddhim. Sakalatmanam api Svatmanam atmatmataya vichakshute Kurvarkaradha upanishatshu chakshusha Yete tarantiva bhavanritam buddhim Evam vidam tvam sakalatmanam api Svatmanam atmatmataya vichakshate Gurvarkalabdho upanishatshu chakshusha Yete tarantiva bhavanritam buddhim Ladies. Evam vidham tvam sakalatmanam api Svatmanam atmatmataya vichakshate Kurvarkalabdha upanishatshu chakshusha Yete tarantiva bhavanritam buddhim Evam vidham, as thus described, tvam, you, sakala, of all, atmanam, souls, api, indeed, svaatmanam, the very soul, atmatmataya, as the super soul, Vichakshate, they see, Guru, from the spiritual master, Arka, who is like the sun, Labdha, received, Upanishad, of confidential knowledge, Suchakshusha, by the perfect eye, Yea, who? Te, they. Taranti, cross over. Eva, easily. Bhava, of material existence. Anrita, which is not real. Ambudhim, the ocean.
Translation. One who has received the clear vision of knowledge from the sun-like spiritual master can see you in this way as the very soul of all souls, the super soul of everyone's own self. Thus understanding your original personality, they are able to cross over the ocean of illusory material existence. Purport. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, we can all say this together. Jamma karma jayavyam eva yudhikutatavam janam jamma maite. So, thank you. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take birth again in this material world, but obtains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Om Agyanam Jnanandasya Jnananjana Salakaya. Chaksusomitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jayatam Sarito Pangur Mama Manda Materagati Mat Sarvasva Patambo Jo Radha Madana Mohana. So the purport is quoting a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, but this verse is in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. So even though it's quoting that as the purport, I thought it would be nice to see how it was expanded a little in this verse as it's just in the purport here. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities. So I thought, one who knows. So who's that one that knows? Who is that person who knows? What is the qualification for knowing? And then how did he know it? Who did he hear it from? And what was the qualification for who spoke it originally? Because there's a lot of, I think they call it rahasya. There's always mysteries about everything in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna always says everything in gist form or just hints about it. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're already up to the 10th canto, he's explaining it. So I wrote down a couple of those points while I tried to think about this. This is the hardest part, organizing it. I have approximately 127 to 300 points to make, but I was going to try to limit it to 3 or 4. Who gets it and who doesn't get it? Who gets this and who doesn't get it? Because we were speaking the other day how the Mayavadis, they don't get it. That's because they have a couple qualities that keeps them from getting it. And in the Bhagavad Gita, we can always go to, let's say, 9.1. I was going to start off with 13.24, where it says, what's being spoken of here is where we can understand the difference between the material nature and the spiritual nature. And the Mayavadis, they don't get the spiritual nature. They don't understand that. They think Krishna's body, his form, his name, his activities, devotional service is all Maya. That's all they get. And other than that, they don't. Because in 9.1, I'll go get the 9.1 right after 13.24. It says, one who understands this philosophy concerning material nature and the living entity and the interactions of the modes of nature is sure to obtain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. So just like in that 4.9, it talked about the benediction that one gets. If he understands that, he doesn't take birth again. So here it's also saying you won't take birth again because Krishna has his swabhavam. He has his own nature. And quite a few places in the Bhagavad Gita, he also confirms that you'll obtain the same swabhavam. You'll also get a spiritual nature. You could go to 15.5, that the surrendering process is nicely said in 15.5, where, I know where to find things, I'm just not so good at remembering them. So you have to bear with me. 15.5 mentions, it says, for those that are free from false prestige, illusion, false association, who understand the eternal and are done with material lust, who is free from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, knows how to surrender to the Supreme Person, obtains that eternal kingdom. So here he's explaining some of the other points that you understand. And this is all... So one understands Krishna's transcendental nature. See, that's the other point that is being made there, the transcendental nature of Krishna's activities. So that means you can't be a Mayavadi because they don't get it. And as I was starting to say in 9.1, there's a word, anusuyave, and that was a qualifier that Krishna points out in 9.1, and then 9.2 and 9.3, he says, who gets it and who doesn't get it again. 9.1 is, the Supreme Personality of God has said, my dear Arjun, because you are never envious of me, that's the anusuyave, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved from the miseries of material existence. And then the famous verse we're all familiar with, Rajavidya, Rajaguyam, Pravitram, Idam, Uttamam. This knowledge, Rajavidya, so it's the king of knowledge, Rajaguyam, it's the king, Rajaguyam, of confidential. So this is special that, as he pointed out, I'm telling you because that quality of non-envious is your qualification for understanding this. He says, this knowledge that I'm about to give you is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, is perfection of religion, is everlasting and joyfully performed. But then he qualifies it again on the next verse, 9.3, where he says, those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot obtain me, O conqueror of enemies, of birth and death in this material world. So because today's verse, he was mentioning that, he was quoting that 4.9, and he also says, For who has received a clear vision of this, of knowledge from the sunlight spiritual master. So, Acharya Van Purusha Veda, he says, if one has a spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, he can understand. So, Yasha Devi Parabhakti. Fear. It says, so if one has faith in Krishna and in the spiritual master, then everything will be revealed to him. So that was the second part for the spiritual master. You have faith in the spiritual master. So the point that I was deriving from this is we understand Krishna by rasa or relationship. That's how we understand Krishna. That's how we see Krishna. In fact, there's a saying that says, I see, and it means I understand. You explain something to somebody, and they say, oh, I see. So are they seeing or they're understanding? So they use the words interchangeable, that I see means you understand. So another verse like that was from the Bhagavatam 3.32.41. Instruction should be given to the faithful devotee who is respectful to the spiritual master, non-envious, friendly to all kinds of living entities, and eager to render service with faith and sincerity. Nice verse. 3.32.41. Comes in kind of a strange spot, but that it's nice there. So when Krishna entered the wrestling arena, there was Krishna. So you could say you are seeing Krishna, or you could say that you're not seeing Krishna, but you're seeing Krishna according to your relationship with him. So it mentions here, I'm going to just read a little bit. When Krishna entered Kamsa's arena, he says, when Krishna entered the wrestling arena with Balaram and their friends, he appeared differently to different people according to their different relationships, rasas, with him. Krishna is a reservoir of all pleasure and all kinds of rasas, both favorable and unfavorable. He appeared to the wrestlers exactly like a thunderbolt. To the people in general, he appeared as the most beautiful personality. To the females, he appeared as the most attractive male, Cupid personified. And thus he increased their lust. The cowherd men who were present there looked upon Krishna as their own kinsman, coming from the same village of Vrindavan. The impious kshatriyas, kings who were present, saw him as the strongest ruler and their chastiser. So if you just stop for a minute, you can see how this works. Just like if a policeman knocks at your door, if you're a law-abiding citizen, you say, yes, could I help you with something? If you're a crook and a policeman knocks at your door, it's a whole nother experience. They go through a very rapid procedure of cleaning the house and running out the back door. So here we're saying that these rulers, when they saw Krishna, they saw him as his chastiser. Because most people, when they do something wrong, they know it's wrong, but they figure no one's watching or they won't get caught or they'll be able to get away with it somehow or other. So that's why it says when you have a clear understanding of this material nature and the spiritual nature, how can you think you can get away with anything? You understand what a perfect system Krishna has put in place out of love. It's in place. So you naturally become self-corrective. And Trinada Peace Nechina. To the parents of Krishna, Nanda and Jasoda, he appeared as the most beautiful child. To Kamsa, the king of the Bhoja dynasty, he appeared to be death personified. And these aren't just, we're going through a list here, but if you, for a moment, you put your mind in what it would be like when Kamsa saw Krishna, he could say, well, I tried my best to kill him before we got to this point, and here he is. So my death is imminent, and it's here he is for me. And of course, Prabhupada also mentioned when people don't believe in God, you can say, well, God will appear to you as death. So, as sure as death. To the unintelligent, he appeared as an incapable personality. So they're just saying, he's a small kid. What's he going to do against these big wrestlers, you know? To the yogis present, he appeared to be the super soul. This particular verse that we're reading, even though it has just one verse from the Bhagavad Gita in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Bhagavatam commentary, he writes about how this verse here is referring also to the super soul, to the yogis who are seeing the super soul. But because they're taking a benediction from a spiritual master, they're being elevated. Because when it says they're seeing Krishna as the soul of all souls, and here to the yogis present, it appears he appeared as the super soul. So we know that this, once you separate matter from spirit, you see the active principle is Krishna. And his relationship with the living entity, he's in different positions. The living entity has different degrees of consciousness manifesting to him according to his relationship, his rasa with Krishna. And they see differently. So, okay. Now, when you see this, when you see how the material nature is solid, stringent laws of material nature, and you understand how Krishna is setting this up. This is actually the vision devotees get in the Vijnanamaya stage. As you're developing, Krishna lets you see everything, but you still have your independence and material nature is still there. The incessant flow of desires are coming. And this station that we're at, this point where we're learning to control the mind, we're learning how to fix it on Krishna, always remember Krishna. It's a very creative time for the living entity struggling in the material existence of how am I to, I'm trying to become free from material attachments, even though I didn't even know there were material attachments. Now I see or I understand how these attachments are manifesting how they cover my intelligence, but because of Prabhupada's mercy, we have a sadhana where for a little while we get to see it again. It's like the dunking stool. You come up for a minute, you get a breath, you get to see everything, and then the rest of the day unfolds if you can hold on or stay fixed in Krishna consciousness. So one point that I was I better make it now because of the way the time's going. I'll leave the other 250 points for later. How Krishna is being seen by us at this particular point, how Krishna has made the contact with us, and how Krishna is revealing more and more to us at every moment and or every day. So, because this verse, it says, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance, so does he have a transcendental nature of his appearance, how he's appearing right now? How has Krishna appeared right now? Who can think of something, some way that Krishna has appeared right now? Adideva is pointing to the deities. Now, how did the deities appear? How were they here? What, there's a difference between installed deities and uninstalled deities. So how did the deities come? What was the nature of their appearance?
By the pure devotee.
So by Prabhupada's mercy, they came. So here it says, showing us how Prabhupada, Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan, that gave you another one, that he's coming with the spiritual potency, the Sarup Shakti, into this dark material world, Om Agyana, and he's opening our eyes. So I thought it would be nice at this point to go through the samsara prayers just to see if we can notice in this angle of vision, this approach, how the internal potency is manifesting. Because you have to know the nature of his appearance. So here's the nature of some of his appearances. He doesn't just appear in all the unlimited avatars. He's appearing in many ways. Nama Rupe, Krishna avatar. That Krishna avatar, that's an appearance. Krishna, how is he appearing? He's appearing, Shrutanam, Bhavanam, Premanam. So I thought in the first verse, it says, the spiritual master, he's receiving the benediction from the ocean of mercy. And just like a cloud pours water on a forest fire to extinguish it, so the spiritual master extinguishes, delivers the material afflicted world by extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master who is an ocean of auspicious qualities. We'll get back to those qualities in number 7. But here it's mentioning that because the benediction, this verse that today, it was a prayer, but it's also a benediction. Because once you understand the nature of Krishna's appearance and his activities, you're not going to take birth again. So here we're explaining practically, bringing it another 5,000 years up to present, on how this is happening to us. This experience of the nature of Krishna's appearance is that Prabhupada, his Ganaganatvam, he's the cloud that's taking the water from the ocean and sprinkling it on us. And what's the effect of that is that this material energy is now shrinking. It goes from an ocean to a little calf's footprint, and with the water in a little footprint of a calf, because it's being the root of this material entanglement is so mercifully being removed, this anusuyave, that we're hearing. And of course that that same verse that we read before, that 324, And since it was talking about the Supersoul, 325 says, some perceive the Supersoul within themselves through meditation, others through cultivation and knowledge, and still others through working without fruitive activities. But since that didn't really apply to most of us in this age, the next verse, I thought, applied more to us. Again, there are those, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they transcend the path of birth and death. So I thought that's so nice. Just, and Prabhupada said that his spiritual master marked him by saying he has a tendency to hear. Sometimes he'd understand, Prabhupada would say, and sometimes he wouldn't. Of course, as we read Bhaktisiddhanta's works, that's not hard to understand. Sometimes you understand, and sometimes you don't. But you just read it. Like, I remember reading the Brahma Samhita, maybe with the first 4 months I was a devotee. And then I read it again 2 years, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. It's still very rich. So, okay, we get our tendency here. We know Shravanam is the first one, Shravanam, Kirtan, then you repeat with glorification, and then you're remembering, and as you're remembering, more and more you're inclined to hear, to serve, and then pray. As you understand more and more, then you can pray, Krishna, how am I ever going to become pure enough then? Okay, so then we're text 2. See if we can pick out any ways that the internal potency that Krishna is manifesting in this verse. Mahaprabhu Kirtan Nitra Gita. He says, chanting the holy name, dancing in ecstasy, singing, playing musical instruments, the spiritual master is always engladdened by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya because he's relishing the mellows of pure devotion within his mind. Sometimes his hair stands on end. He feels quivering in his body. Tears flow from his eyes like waves. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So, Prabhupada said, I'm number 11, and all of you are next in line. So at a certain point, one, it says, the spiritual master is one who knows the science of Krishna. So as you're learning the science of Krishna, you're being a spiritual master, whether you have disciples, whether you don't have disciples. And here are some of the things that happen when you're chanting the holy name, you're recognizing the holy name. What was it? Nama Rupe. Krishna avatar. Krishna has appeared, the nature of my appearance. So why does he appear? I think that was right around that other one, maybe 4-7, is it? Who knows 4-7? Anybody got numbers? I get numbers. Anyway. All 4-8. We got a 4-8. So we got a 4-8 and a 4-9. Do I hear a 4-7? Well, I'll start with a 4-7. Whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. 4-8 is to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish religious principles, I myself appear millennium after millennium. And then we have Lord Chaitanya, who has come. So here's the reason that Krishna says he's coming. So these are generally considered, when we get to Lord Chaitanya, he mentions some internal reasons that he appears. Because in Krishna consciousness, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he explains what Krishna consciousness is understanding these 6 different things. He says that, I like this one because it's so inclusive and it helps us see all the different angles that we should be establishing when we're understanding Krishna consciousness is that Krishna tattva. So we have our sambandha gyan. Okay, Krishna tattva. We're understanding Krishna's position, the material energy, the spiritual energy, our relationship with them. So how did you do that? Bhakti tattva, Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva. Where are you going? Sambandha abhideya. Where's your destination? Prema tattva, sara. That's the essence. You understand your relationship. You understand sambandha abhideya, the bhakti, and the prayojana, the prema tattva. So, what else is there? Well, there's three other things. That's the essence, and then we'll mention three other things is the bhava tattva, the devotional service in ecstasy. And how's that? Because it's a part of rasa tattva, and let's not leave out lila tattva. So in this verse today, sar. So the first one was sar, and the second line was ar also. So in this verse here, not only are we getting the verse the way that Krishna spoke it in the Bhagavad Gita, but we're also seeing it in the context of lila, of rasa, of prema, of bhava, of trying to do it backwards. What was it? And bhakti. We see the bhakti element added and the Krishna. So all six things are being explained in this verse here. And it has all the aparashaya that this knowledge is not man-made. It's coming down, aparopanta, through the disciplic succession. And what was the other one? I usually think of three of those things. Aparashaya. My external memory. Well, anyway. So now we're on the, that was the second Guru Vastaka prayer. So now with the third Guru Vastaka prayer, how has Krishna appeared again? Each one of these, we're seeing how progressively Krishna is, the nature of his appearance is being given to us in hint form. In the morning time, this Mangal Artik is such a special time. I call it either morning magic or two other things, how what goes on at this time, because it's such a special time that Krishna, it says there's a benediction with these prayers. If you say these prayers out loud during the Brahma Muhurta, maybe it says it in the beginning. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who appeared in the latter half of the 17th century, a great spiritual master in Krishna consciousness, chain of gurus and disciples, he says, one who with great care and attention, so there's the hook, is it? The small print. You can't just have your body here. You have to, one who with great care and attention loudly recites this beautiful prayer to the spiritual master during the Brahma Muhurta obtains direct service to Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, at the time of death and maybe before. So we're working on this care and attention by repeating it now during class, because sometimes in the morning time we just feel ourselves fortunate if we can get here. It's not an easy task. I sometimes think of, there's kashipu, then they called it blankets, but for us it's called covers. The covering potency. You know what the covering potency is at 4 o'clock in the morning? Very strong. You just pull it up. You pull up over the, get under the covering potency, and there goes Mangal Arti. Got covered again. So we got to watch those covers at that time of day, the covering potency. So we're at number three. The spiritual master is always engaged in a temple worship of Shishi, Radha, and Krishna. Now the impersonalists, they can't understand that. They think it's a means to an end. They don't understand that it's spiritual. They can't understand Krishna's appearance. That's why it's saying they don't get out. In fact, he says that again at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. It's at 18. Right around here. It starts at 67. He says, "This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere, devoted, or engaged in devotional service, nor one who is envious of me." So this Anasuryave, he's saying, they'll never get it. So that's kind of you can play on words. You can't give it to them. They don't get it. Or they don't get the mercy, or they don't get it because they can't understand it. But one way or another, they don't get it. And then it says, but if you explain this secret, this rahasya, this confidential knowledge to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, you'll come back to me. And then there's no servant more dear, I declare to him. Then it says, 71, one who listens with faith without envy, third time he says it, becomes free from sinful reactions, obtains the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. So let's just go right back to 435 one time. That's right after 434, which everybody's familiar with, I think. 434 is just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him with submission, and render service to him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge to you because he's seen the truth. And then what's that? The very next point is all these points support this verse. He says, having obtained knowledge. So what is that knowledge? And knowledge is what the material world is and what the spiritual world is, how Krishna is the controller of both. From a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living entities are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, they are mine. So that's the crux of the Anasuya. That's the crux of the whole thing is what belongs to Krishna, Isha Vaishidam Sarvam, everybody belongs to Krishna. And when one thinks in the mode of passion, all that goes out the window and gets replaced by stepping in front of Krishna, and what belongs to Krishna, you try to take for yourself. So it says, even if you're the most, if you're considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated on the boat of this transcendental knowledge, you'll be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. So they're making the same point again. This knowledge, understanding your relationship to Krishna, acting in this relationship to Krishna, then the material world's finished. And he says, as a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, then of course, you know where the fire gets the fuel to burn the wood? From the wood itself. But that very fuel that's supplying the fire is destroying its own source. So this knowledge takes away all the dust in the mirror. I may have to get back to that. So does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions and material activities. And then he says, there's nothing so sublime and pure as this transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism because it's so confidential. The only way you can actually do that is when your heart changes, to be able to see through the eyes of knowledge, because the mode of passion is being lifted, 1-2-20. Somebody know 1-2-20? Anybody? 1-2-20 is upon gaining the scientific knowledge of Krishna consciousness, you get free from the modes of passion and ignorance, and you come to know of Krishna. Oh, you got it. There you go. Yeah, a lot of people know like one or two words, but numbers are... Anyway, and then 39, it says, a faithful man who's dedicated to transcendental knowledge, who subdues his senses, is eligible to achieve such knowledge. Having achieved it, he quickly obtains a supreme peace. So, of course, as soon as you hear peace, you think of 529, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. So there again, Krishna says that he's the Lord of everything, and he's everyone's friend. So, of course, he points out in chapter 12, you also become everyone's friend. And in today's verse, it also mentions a kind friend. So that's the nature automatically that happens because you see everyone as belonging to Krishna. And you're seeing Krishna in their heart because this material energy, it's dead. That's its nature. It's dead. And you don't know what to do with it. So Krishna has to guide you in every step. So you're seeing the super soul because you know that matter doesn't move by itself. You're seeing the soul. You're seeing them combined together in a friendly relationship. And Krishna is always smiling, waiting day by day when he's going to finally turn his way. Two birds sitting in a tree, one bird. Gurukula. So we're up to out of time. So I'm going to read through the next Guru Vaskar. So it said the spiritual master is always engaged in temple worship. So we got halfway through that one. They dress the deities. Oh, he also engages his disciples in such worship. They dress the deities in beautiful clothes and ornaments, clean their temple, and perform other similar worship of the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So here's Krishna being revealed again. By the mercy of the spiritual master, he's given you an engagement, this yukta. That what for the everyone other than those under the care of the spiritual master doesn't know how to engage anything in the internal potency, which is coming down, mercy of Radharani. That was Sri Radhikai Panaya Mahima, that Lord Chaitanya, he disclosed the internal reasons for his appearance and activities. Just like we understood, Krishna comes to finish off the demons, but we know that's not a hard thing. He can delegate that to so many other potencies to do. But he comes to give the devotees that relishable topics, the Krishna Katha, to talk about Krishna. So he comes, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. He says, I come desiring to understand the glories of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in himself that Radharani is relishing by her love. And what's the happiness that Radharani experiences when she realizes the anubhava, when she realizes Krishna's sweetness? So that was the internal reasons that he comes. And he's giving us that mercy is coming to us also. So that brought us, when we talk about mercy, Prabhupada, number 4, Guru Vastaka prayer, is prasadam, material or spiritual. You would call it a secret weapon. Number 4 is the spiritual master is always offering Krishna 4 kinds of delicious food, analyzes that which is licked, chewed, drunk, and sucked. When the spiritual master sees the devotees are satisfied by eating Bhagavat Prasad, he is satisfied. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual master. So is that a way that Krishna has appeared? The nature of his appearance? He's appeared as Swapasad Nilobai. Uh-oh. If I say too much, I start salivating. Conditioned response. All right, so then we go to the next one. The spiritual master is always eager. What's the spiritual master eager to do? To hear and chant about the unlimited conjugal pastimes of Sri, Sri, Radhika, and Madhava, and about their qualities, names, forms. The spiritual master aspires to relish these at every moment. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So are any of these ways that Krishna has appeared, the nature of his appearance and activities? Has he appeared in his, what you're hearing about? Has he appeared in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Has he appeared in the hearts of those devotees that are always hearing and speaking those? Because what's he say? He said, I'm not in the heart of the yogis. I'm not. He says, where am I? I'm in the heart of the devotees. So another hat. And then, more so, this one's always the previews of coming attractions. We're becoming qualified for this one. This is like when you want to have some shoot for the rhinoceros, you want to put some goal out there that'll cause you great pain. Here's a nice one. The spiritual master is very dear because he's expert in assisting the gopis, who at different times make different tasteful arrangements for the perfection of Radha and Krishna's conjugal loving affairs within the groves of Vrindavan. I offer my most humble obeisances at the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So sometimes they have a saying like the dogs jumping for the moon. So I think Gaura Chandra, he's the moon. And the qualifications, well, maybe we become a dog for Prabhupada. That was a nice prayer, or sit out by the door. And then number 7, just in case you haven't got it up to now, he wraps it up and gives it to you directly. How do you say directly? Saksat. Saksat Hari Twaina. Directly the quality with the qualities of Hari. He said, the spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he is the most confidential servant to the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of such a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari Krishna. Pancha Tattva. Pancha, 5 Tattvas. Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Sri Vas, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. We say that. Sometime it'll fully manifest all the meanings of how Krishna is all 5 of these. So, and numbers 8, we're at the end. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Therefore, I should always remember and praise the spiritual master. At least 3 times a day, I should offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. So I think I covered some of the points that I made. We'll take any questions or comments, or it's already kind of late. The super soul, by the benediction, you'll be able to cross the material existence. Being free from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me, taking refuge in me. Many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all obtain transcendental love for me. And then it says here, whoever at the time of, and whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone, or with the devotees, at once obtains to my nature. So this, he gets Krishna's nature again, mat bhavam. He gets his nature by remembering that. If you do a query on that, just like it says, one who properly sees all activities, there's no other performer is at work. One who sees that in all activities, no other performer is at work, and that these, and then these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to these modes, he obtains my spiritual nature. So that fits right in with that point of understanding what is this material energy. What energizes this material energy to cover us, those covering potencies? And then when you see all that and you continue to make progress because you missed the 9-3 is those who don't follow faithfully. They have to return. But if you faithfully follow, then you're done. Thank you very much. Glories of Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.